To fall in love with God is the greatest romance. To seek him, the greatest adventure. To find him, the greatest human achievement. That's a quote from St. Augustine of Hippo. Now, I'm sure a good number of folks here are aware of, or may even remember, the Baltimore Catechism. Yes? Okay, I know I'm asking some to age themselves. Now, I know that one of the first questions is, why did God make us? Do you know the answer? If you know the answer, go ahead. That sounds about right. The mask makes it hard, but we'll say it's right. The answer is, God made me to know him, love him, and to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in the next. Meaning, God created us to be in relationship with him, and one that we freely choose. It is only when we find ourselves in that relationship that we can experience true peace and true happiness. That's why St. Augustine says, to fall in love with God is the greatest romance, and seeking him, the greatest adventure. Christianity has a lot to do with searching. For us, we're called to always seek and discern God's will in our lives, to look for the ways in which God's grace penetrates our lives, even in the smallest of ways, to find ways to be of service to our brothers and sisters and to bring Jesus into their lives, to always look, where does God want me to go? On God's end, he has searched for us from the time of our first parents. When they sinned and tried to hide from God out of embarrassment, he went through the garden looking for them. Every time the Jewish people strayed from the covenant, he sought them out and once again, out of love, renewed that covenant. For the sake of our salvation, he searched for us to the point of becoming one of us in all things but sin. And now, from heaven, with Mary, with all the saints and the holy men and women, God continues his search for each and every one of us in guiding us home to heaven. This context of discernment, of seeking God, is what we find in our scriptures this weekend. In the first reading, Samuel gradually realizes that the Lord is calling him to be his prophet. And for a little bit of history, Samuel's mother was so grateful for having him, after asking the Lord to bless her with a child, that she entrusted Samuel to the Lord in the temple. She took him to the temple to be entrusted. And Samuel then is precious in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord starts calling him, Samuel, Samuel. But he's young and doesn't quite understand what's going on. And so he's thinking that it's Eli calling him, and the scene almost plays out like a TV show. Samuel wakes up, Eli, what do you want? I heard you calling me. Well, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. And after that second time, Eli, who is a priest, and Samuel's mentor, in a sense, gives him some good advice. He says, listen to the Lord and tell him your servant is listening. The reading concludes by saying that no word of Samuel's was not without effect for the rest of his life. Why? Because Samuel became the Lord's prophet. You see, when each one of us were baptized, we were baptized priest, prophet, and king. When our heads were anointed with holy chrism, the priest or the deacon prayed, as Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and king, so may you live always as members of his body, sharing in everlasting life. What does it mean to be a prophet today? First, it means that we are in relationship with God. That might seem obvious, but a point that needs to be made. We can know a lot about our faith, about the law of the church. We can recite those questions from the Baltimore Catechism, all well and good. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we have a relationship with God. A relationship where we wake up every morning, and when our feet hit the floor, we can say, here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. We can't be agents of change in this world if we aren't fostering our own personal relationship with Jesus, where we take time to share with him everything that's in our heart and also take time to listen to what Jesus places on our heart. To be a prophet to others means that we have to first listen to God and discern what he wants us to share, what message he wants us to share, and how to share it. We all go through discernment in the sense of our vocation. Be married, single, priest, religious, whatever it might be. But the prophet discerns daily. The prophet discerns his or her actions and how they fit with the will of God. Will my actions lead others to Christ or away from Christ? The prophet's actions are not self-serving or self-seeking in worldly power or pleasure or accolades, but rather seek true happiness from a right relationship with God, because he has made us to love him and to serve him so that we can be happy forever. Being a prophet today is not easy by any means. But if we look around in our world and we feel dismayed at what we see around us, then I propose that this is the solution, that each of us renew our baptismal commitment to being priests, prophets, and kings, and in bold and perhaps new ways, spread the truth of the gospel, a truth that is true for and good for all people and for all time. Like Samuel, like Paul, like Peter, and like all the other disciples, when we commit ourselves to Jesus and build and maintain that relationship, all things are possible. In those 3 years the disciples spent with Jesus, every day their relationship grew little by little. And so too for us across the course of our life, every day we grow a little bit more. It doesn't mean that everything will be easy or without hardship. Look at the life of the disciples. But it will be good because God is good. Everybody keeps talking about finding answers to our world problems. It's one of kind of the key phrases. Well, we got to find answers. We got to find solutions. All well and good. I would propose for us as disciples of Christ, the answer is right here in front of us, and it always has been. For us to live the gospel, to preach the gospel, and to pray for the Spirit, to pray to the Spirit for the courage to do so, has been what's true down through the ages and will always be true. We're called to live the gospel message, and when we conform our lives to Christ and have that personal relationship, everything else falls into place. But it starts with us saying yes. It starts with us putting ourselves in the presence of God. And so perhaps all of us can try for at least 1 week, but maybe this is something that you'll do longer, that when you wake up, before going to your phone, before you even get out of bed or do anything else, when you wake up to say, "Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will." To begin each day with that act of surrender, to say whatever it is that happens throughout this day, big or small, "I am your servant. I am listening." And over time, notice how your days might change. The same things might happen throughout a day, but how you view them and process them and see God in them, I think will change. And thus, our relationship with Jesus will grow. In doing so, we may experience the greatest romance by loving God, embarking on the greatest adventure in seeking God, and finding what every human heart longs for, God himself.